This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut?
I resign.
We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad?
I was so wrong.
Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report Podcast is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, February 7th here, 2014, Gillette Stadium, for another Patriots.com Roster Report Podcast. I am Andy Hart, joined by Patriots Football Weekly's Eric Scalavino. No Paul Perillo. It's Friday, so he beat Feed out of town early today.
Was he here today?
Just the backbone of the paper here to get this job done. Although we don't really have any moves to talk about, so we're going to look ahead. Instead of looking back at the roster, we'll look ahead to free agency and what is coming in weeks and months as the Patriots begin to build the 2014
season. Now that the season is officially over.
It's over.
Completely over.
Super Bowl, Pro Bowl.
Done.
All bowls, all gone.
Yep.
The coaching staff seems to be somewhat set. We've spent the last couple weeks updating that. And now we will look at the Patriots' dozen free agents. Patriots have 12 free agents that will begin talking to teams on March 8th in the legal tampering period. And then March 11th, contracts can begin to get signed. The big date, though, comes before then. February 17th is the first day that teams can begin to use the franchise tag. And the Patriots have one, maybe two players that could be candidates for the franchise tag. But first,
our top two, as our cover says this week.
Yes, on newsstands now, Patriots Football Weekly. Yes, good to mention that the free agency preview in there, both Patriots and league-wide, as well as our season awards, everything wrapping up the new year.
1-800-494-PATS.
Yes.
PFWOnline.com.
Makes a great gift. Valentine's Day is coming, so for you ladies out there,
great.
If you want to give your special man a nice treat, other than, you know, the obvious, you could get him a subscription to Patriots Football Weekly, or, you know, men,
right?
If you got a lady fan in your life who's a big Pats fan, or share it.
It's the cherry on top.
Or go to the iTunes Apple Store, iTunes,
get yourself football
daily.
There it is.
Save yourself some coin, about half the price if you have an iPad.
Whatever you do, though, you got to subscribe somehow.
Somehow, some way, you got to hear us, read us, see us. You need more of us. It's all about us as we head to Valentine's Day. Patriots free agents. I'll run down the list, and then we'll talk about the top two, as Eric mentioned. Long snapper Danny Aiken is a restricted free agent, coming off a shaky end to the season. LeGarrette Blount, the running back, unrestricted. The rest of these are all unrestricted. Andre Carter, Austin Colley, Julian Edelman, Dane Fletcher, Michael Manawanui, Matthew Mulligan, Brandon Spikes, Vil Svitek, Aqib Talib, and Ryan Wendell. So a quick glance, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players essentially who are starters that are free agents who may or may not be back with the team. But as we said, top two and top one, in my opinion, is the guy that wears 31. Mm. The number one cornerback, the guy who was taking away opposing number one receivers for much of the season. Aqib Talib was a free agent last year, returned on a one-year $5 million deal, played very well. But as Robert Kraft said last week, he's been injured quite a bit since he's been here, which, you know, might be sort of the initial step towards negotiations. You're a great player. Mm. We want you back. But you're not always on the field when we need you.
Yeah, and which leads me to wonder whether or not he'll get the franchise tag.
Yeah, because you can look at it two ways. One way is it's security. It's a one-year deal. You don't have to commit long-term to a guy who you are concerned about injury-wise. The flip side is it's
a
likely
lot of money
to be over $11 million when it's finalized.
Right.
For a team that doesn't have a ton of cap space and would actually right now have to create some cap space to even apply the tag, because we should point out, if you apply the franchise tag to a player, it is then assumed he's on your cap at that number. You must have that number under your salary
right.
cap
yeah, you
to
can't
apply
just,
it.
You can't just arbitrarily
some, like,
put,
you
put
know,
it. Yeah.
Philosophical idea. I'll create it when I need it. No.
It has to,
you
has to be available.
It. So therefore, Aqib Talib is by far the biggest question. You look at the market last year for corners, it was soft. There weren't any big money contracts really handed out. A lot of short-term deals. A couple of years ago, there were. There were multiple $50 million type contracts. My guess is he's going to fall somewhere in between those two parameters this year. I think a number that's probably fair to say. The high end is $10 million a year. Well, the high end is actually Darrell Revis at $16 million a year. He has a very unique contract. Mm. But the high end is around $10 million. I think Tlaib could come in the eights, maybe, a longer-term deal, that average annual value in the eights. You know, obviously, somewhere around half is likely to be some sort of guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. The question is, will the Patriots dole out 40-something million dollars over the next 5 years for Aqib Tlaib?
Yeah, this could be a year where they don't apply a franchise tag to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very possible that they could try to negotiate with Tlaib as a free agent. And because I think there is some goodwill there. I think he really does like being part of the organization.
Well, he didn't really play in the NFL until he got here, he said.
Well,
so why would he want to go back to not playing in the NFL with one of the other 31 non-NFL teams?
Very good point. Yeah, interesting that he wears 31, too, because this is the only team that he played for.
Yep.
But, no, I think it is possible that maybe they will, at least early on, try to see if they can work out a deal without having to resort to the franchise tag, because they do have 2 weeks. They have until May 3rd once the March 3rd.
Right.
Once the window opens on the 17th. And a guy like Julian Edelman, yes, he had a great season, but you talk about injury prone. All the other seasons that he's been here, the previous four, he never was able to play a full season. Now, the flip side argument to that is, if you do let him go, because there are reports, whether you believe them or not, of how much he could command.
I'll take not.
$7 million is the number that we saw from someone who also said, what about this player?
He once said that this player's future was at defensive back, not wide receiver.
Yeah,
now he says he's a $7 million a year wide receiver. I don't know what to believe.
Very astute. But the flip side to that is you could say, well, if they do let him go, it's so hard for this organization to bring in receivers that end up working out with Tom Brady. And Julian Edelman is clearly a guy who Brady relies on, trusts.
They're attached at the hip.
They pretty much are. They're very good friends.
From the same area, same agent.
Right.
Same logo.
So would it behoove the team to lose the number one target from this past season?
He's back.
I think...
I'm saying he's back.
The free agent route or the franchise tag?
4 years, $18 million, something like that. He'll get a little chunk guaranteed, you know, $9 million guaranteed. I'm saying Julian Edelman will be back.
I tend to think that, too. I'm probably about 60-40 that he's going to come back. The only thing that I think could play a factor here is that he is a West Coast guy. Seattle and San Francisco both have young quarterbacks who seem to be making a move to become upper echelon quarterbacks in this league. He definitely needs to go to somewhere where there's an established good quarterback who can get him the ball. He can't be he's not like a Calvin Johnson
or
Larry Fitzgerald.
He's
not
the
guy. But if he goes to a place where he can be the go-to guy after the fact, and I think Seattle, San Francisco makes sense if they want a guy like that.
Would certainly be interesting because that's where he's from.
And that's where he's from.
A young team.
I could see his possibly making a move there.
I bet he's back.
But I tend to think he knows where his bread is buttered, and he'll probably stay here for maybe a 3 or 4 year deal.
The only fly in that ointment is if his agent compares him to Danny Amendola, who cut $30 million.
He's going to want a lot, yeah.
The Patriots kind of, in a way, backed themselves into a corner with Edelman by the deal they certainly a market-setting type deal for a slot receiver that they gave to Danny Amendola.
Yeah.
And I wonder now in negotiations, hindsight, if there's any sort of regret there. But, you know, it'll work itself out. I think he's loyal to the organization that developed him, turned him from quarterback to receiver, punt returner, and all that. Others that you look at, probably number three in line would be LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
I don't think he's quite that significant. I sort of align myself with Bill Belichick, and I think he believes you can kind of always find a running back. You have a core here already. You essentially have three young running backs who are going to be here in Bolden, Ridley, and Vereen. You could fill in around him with another veteran if you need to. There are other veterans on the market. And if some team looks at Blount and says, he can be our guy, he can be our franchise back, I don't see the Patriots even, you know, considering matching.
No,
anything.
But again, I think I see a guy who kind of likes it here.
True,
and
true.
Might decide this might be the best situation for him. I don't know.
It's a good place for the team to
it really
have these
is.
Guys loyal or just overly comfortable, because both of those guys were, Tlaib and Blount, were on the downward trend when they left Tampa.
When they left there.
Their career was going the wrong way.
Right.
And now they've really kind of revived it and built it back up here.
The one guy on that list who I don't think falls in that category is Brandon Spikes.
Nope. That Spikes isn't sticking around.
No, I don't think
so. Isn't nailed down.
No.
Isn't going to, I don't know. He could go to Buffalo with his buddy Pepper Johnson. Although Kiko Alonso
would probably have something to say about
that. Yeah, Brandon Spikes, I think you have seen him play his last game as a Patriot. Other guys that I do think could return, Dane Fletcher certainly has some loyalty here. Mm-hmm. They like his special teams and backup ability. I would assume Manoa Inouye will be back. You have nothing really right now with Gronkowski injured and these guys, both Mulligan and Manoa Inouye, free agents. I could see him coming back. I think they like him. I think they like his versatility, and he's not a big money guy that's going to go out there and find much on the open market. Ryan Wendell, your starting center, is an interesting one. Probably not going to make a ton of money. You could probably do better. You could probably upgrade.
Yeah.
But you're also probably comfortable with what he brings to the table as well.
Well, maybe. I think, though, that he is a possibility for an upgrade, like you said, via the free agent market. I think they could look elsewhere. Maybe there are guys like Alex Mack from Cleveland, very good established young centers who I think are much better options. If they can get a guy like that for a fairly reasonable price, I think they would make that move because certainly, we saw it towards the end of the year, one of the vulnerabilities of that offensive line was up the middle.
Sure.
Pass protection and even against the run sometimes, I think that Wendell was a weak link in that chain. So I wouldn't be too surprised if they try to make a move for a center in free agency. There are a couple of other names out there that I think might fill the bill.
Yeah, there are a number of centers on the open market. There'll be a number of players at every position on the open market come March 11th. Team can start negotiating March 8th with those representatives of those players. But the more important date, February 17th through the 3rd, we have the combine coming, and during that time, teams will be using the franchise tag.
That's
will the Patriots
from the 19th through the 25th,
yeah, we will be there the 19th through the 23rd, I believe, for media coverage. You'll also have the coverage, I believe, the 21st through the 25th on NFL Network. Press conferences, coaches, GMs, players.
Yep.
You'll see everything coming out of Indy, and PFW will be there to cover it as always.
But 10 days from now, franchise tag opening, the window open. That doesn't mean they'll do it right away.
I think I agree with you. I don't think the Patriots will use the franchise tag this
year. Yeah, I'm tending to think not.
Unless they get scared at the end of that window that Tlaib is just long gone and hard to find.
Right.
I tend to think they'll be negotiating a long-term deal and won't want to have to create that 11-plus million-dollar window.
Right, yeah. And if they do it, I think it'll be closer to March 3rd than to February 17th.
But I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. And tune in next Friday, and maybe I'll be wrong that day, because this puts the wraps on another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. Free agencies around the corner, a dozen Patriots. Will they be back? Will they be gone? Will others be coming to replace them?
Yes.
Stay tuned all spring long here on Patriots.com. Peace out.
This has been the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team, only on Patriots.com.